God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about reading the Bible to children. It's no good reading the Bible to our children until we've read it and applied it to our own lives. And my husband and I were having trouble with a certain person who owed us what seemed to us quite a sizable sum of money. He had no reason not to pay it. He owed it to us. And we had waited very patiently before we reminded him of his debt. We got no response. As time went on, it became more and more clear that this man really had no intention of paying his debt. Now, he was a Christian brother, and as we understand the Bible, there are some distinctions between the way we are to treat Christians and the way we are to treat others. We are to treat all, of course, with love, but there are sometimes some differences. Anyway, Lars was getting more and more irritated with this person, and one evening had said to me, "I am going to put a lien on his property. I think I'm going to notify the IRS that there are some aspects of his financial dealings that perhaps ought to be looked into. And, let me think, what else can I do to pry this money out of this guy?" Well, the next morning, he came into the room rather sheepishly. He'd been in his own study reading his Bible. And he said, "You know, it doesn't really do to read the Bible too carefully. The passage that I read this morning was, 'If somebody owes you something, don't try to get it back.'" He says, "I'm afraid that's for me." The Bible is not only relevant, the Bible is very painfully relevant at times. And if we have made it so in our own lives, then surely we're going to want to teach it to our children. How important is it that your children should be fed spiritually? Well, how important is it that they should be fed physically? How many meals do you feed your children per day? 3? You mean they need 3 meals a day? Yes, and snacks in between, you say. Do you have time for that? You don't really have time to feed kids 3 meals a day, do you? Nobody even asks a question like that. You make time. If you're going to read your Bible to your children, if it strikes you as being at least as important as physical food, then the same thing is going to have to apply. You're going to have to make time. If you start when the children are young enough, there won't be a struggle. Just like toothbrushing. You start teaching your children to brush their teeth when they're very tiny. And so, very quickly, they learn that this is just a part of getting up in the morning and going to bed at night. You brush your teeth. You set a time and a place for toothbrushing. You set a time and a place for Bible reading. There are great stories in the Bible, stories that children adore. The story of Noah and his ark. Or, I remember Valerie saying to me one time, "What was the name of that man, Mama, the one that made the large canoe?" We were living in the jungle at the time, and the only kind of craft vessel that floated on the water that she knew anything about was a canoe, so she remembered that there was somebody in the Bible that made a large canoe. Then there was the story of Abraham with his son Isaac, and the story of Gideon, and the pitchers with the lamps inside, and David and Goliath and Samuel. I loved the story of the boy Samuel when I was a little girl. I could vividly picture him lying there in the temple and hearing the voice of the Lord and running to old Eli and saying, "Did you call me?" Then the wonderful stories of Jesus in the New Testament. It's not hard to catch the interest of a child with these. And if you want a modern version of the Bible, which is understandable for children, try Hurlbut's Story of the Bible or Ken Taylor's The Bible in Pictures for Little Eyes. Hurlbut's Story of the Bible, or Ken Taylor's The Bible in Pictures for Little Eyes. Your Christian bookstore can certainly find those for you. It's important to read right through the Bible. Choose a good translation. Make your reading short. And I think this is very important. Little children don't have a long attention span. It's hard for them to sit still, especially if you're reading something that doesn't grab their interest as well as perhaps the story of David might. But it's important that they learn to sit quietly and reverently. You don't have to explain to them what reverence means before you teach them how to act reverent. You have to train children to do a lot of things that they don't understand. Later on, you teach them the reasons. My parents taught us to sit still through the reading of Scripture. And because there was a 16-year age span in our family, there was always a small child for whom allowances had to be made. So when my father read the Bible to us in the morning after breakfast, I doubt that he ever made it more than 5 or 6 minutes. Then, sometimes it's a good idea to make some application. For heaven's sake, for your children's sake, don't preach a sermon to them every time you open the Bible. You'll make them groan. But when there's something clearly to obey, you can stop and say, "Did you notice something here that God is telling us to do? Did you notice something here that God tells us not to do? Is there something here that we can pray about?" And then use the opportunity then and there to pray. Occasionally ask a question. Many's the time I was embarrassed by my father asking a question which I couldn't answer because, of course, my mind was out the window. I know the Bible fairly well now, but a great deal of what I know I learned more or less by osmosis, not because I was paying attention, not because I particularly enjoyed the reading of the Bible, but because my parents required it. We were just as much expected to sit quietly and listen to the reading of the Bible as we were expected to clean up our plates, whatever was on our plates. And my mother was wise enough not to put too much on a plate. Just as you apportion out the food for your child on his plate, so you should apportion spiritual food. And here's another point. Don't be discouraged because nothing seems to be getting through. You'd just be amazed at what your child is learning when it appears that he's paying no attention whatsoever. The fact of the Word, the presence of the Bible in your home, the honor that you give it, the trustworthiness of it, and just seeing you turn to the Bible makes a deep and lasting impression on your child. Don't be discouraged. Don't ever doubt the efficacy of just the simple reading of the Bible. Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, told me that she's always kept a Bible open on her kitchen counter. She was the busy mother of 5 children. She didn't have time for long, quiet meditation alone. But all day long, as she went in and out of the kitchen, she could glance at that Bible. My father always had a special time for Bible reading and prayer. He used to have his pencil and his notebook and his Bible laid out at night before he went to bed. It made an impression on us children that he not only read the Bible to us, but we knew that before he did that, he had been reading it to himself. Another thing, by all means, avoid false intonations. You don't have to read the Bible this way. "When Moses finished speaking these words to all Israel, he then said, 'I am now 120 years old, and I can no longer move about as I please, and the Lord has told me that I may not cross Jordan.'" Now, I don't suppose for a moment that there's anybody out there that would read the Bible this way, but maybe we've been brought up in churches where the minister had a ministerial tone, and so we feel as though we have to put on a special voice. Just as some people think they have to put on a special voice when they teach a Sunday school class. "Now, boys and girls, what did Noah do when God said, 'Build the ark'?" "That's right. Noah built an ark." Please don't do that. Avoid false intonations. Talk as though you're telling the child the truth. You don't have to put on a story voice or a religious voice. Tell it straight. Tell the story. Memory work, tremendously important. If you simply read one verse to your children every day for a week, they will know it. Read Psalm 23, the whole thing, right through, every day for a month. They'll know it. It doesn't take them that long. It's amazing the memory power that little children have. Take advantage of it. It will stick. Teach a child to find his own place in his own Bible. As soon as he learns to read, give him a Bible. Start with a cheap one. Start, again, as I strongly recommend, with a modern translation, something that he can understand, and teach him to find his own place. Teach him to carry it to church. Then give him special verses to underline. My father gave me special verses. Deuteronomy 31:8, for example. The Lord himself goes at your head. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not be discouraged or afraid. That verse held me when I went away from home for the first time. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Or you could just give a little child that last few words. He careth for you. He cares for you. Or Romans 8:28. Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God. Read the Bible to your children. Feed them with spiritual food.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.